Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ruth. I love teaching the new members' classes with Hal and Jane Ann because, for one thing, they remind me of some things that we start to take for granted that are so wonderful in our covenant here at Plymouth. And one of the primary things that I was reminded of this week is that this wonderful gift here at Plymouth, that you do not have to agree with anything that is preached from the pulpit. In the UCC, we don't have that expectation, but we hope that whatever is preached is something that will help you in your own discernment. So I say that today, not as a disclaimer, but just as a reminder. With that, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the prophecies, visions, awakenings of our hearts be good, complete, and new in your sight, O God, our rock and our alarm clock. Amen. The time for complacency is past. The days of blissful ignorance are long gone. The church's long and very comfortable slumber in the satin sheets and feather-filled bedspreads are coming to a new day. The comfort found with the mattresses of padded endowments, pillows of cultural dominance, and blind sleepwalking through superficial and easy acts of charity are finished. The harsh sound of God's alarm clock for ethical speech, awakening to a need for virtuous leadership, and prophecy is ringing now for the church. Can you hear it? God's alarm clock rings true in all of our hearts this morning. Don't you hear God's call and sounding alarm? Plymouth, it is morning in the church and midnight in America. This is the first day today of the progressive Great Awakening. We might well believe that this is the first time that God has sounded this Great Awakening alarm. As Congregationalists, however, this is our heritage and our legacy. Awakenings are our business in the UCC. While we no longer, of course, espouse the theology of the time, we in the UCC are the direct inheritors of the first Great Awakening, which, if you remember your history, began in Northampton, Massachusetts, led by a man named Jonathan Edwards, author of the famous Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Anyone ever have to read this in high school civics? Lovely piece, isn't it? The UCC has come a long way since that sermon title, hasn't it? Well, today the words of Jonathan Edwards strike us as conservative and a bit awkward. We must recognize that at the time, in 1741, they were progressive and even revolutionary. Edwards, you see, was the leader of the Congregationalist New Lights, as they were called, or the reformers who sought to revive a faith in God's life and action and belief. Now, there were also some people who called themselves the old lights. Does that sound like fun to be the old lights? Well, they wore this title with pride. And these were the Congregationalists who were more interested in governing the affairs of small towns in New England without having to really deal with questions of faith or belief. They wanted nothing to do with the passionate beliefs of these new lights. The old lights despised Edwards and his first Great Awakening followers, their passion, their penchant for grace talk and outspoken nature. They would prefer that the church would be lulled back to sleep as a pacified and placated institution of polished pews and polite summer picnics. Now, Edwards, if you read his literature, was very concerned with something he called the wrath of God. Now, there is a really ugly English word, wrath. It's not even pretty to say. So this makes me wonder, as progressive Christians today, being woken from our sleep, can we handle our claim on the wrath of God? There is no doubt that God's anger is biblical. Even Jesus demonstrates this in the temple when he flipped over tables for people abusing the system. This is a word that for many of us, however, induces something I call church PTSD from our youths in more conservative or less loving places than Plymouth. The wrath of God is tough to embrace. So how can we reappropriate and reclaim God's anger as righteous and holy wrath? Can we reclaim this legacy of our direct ancestor, Jonathan Edwards, in the Great Awakening, for a new time and a new need? Why is God waking us up now and calling us back to the real work of the church? Today, as progressive Christians, we associate the word wrath as meaning hateful or conservative God. But the word wrath actually just means extremely angry or filled with vexation, which is frustration. We must, sisters and brothers, believe that God is capable of that extremely gut anger if we also believe that God is a God of social justice and radical transformation. In the words of our ancestors of faith, Congregationalist Jonathan Edwards, you need to consider yourselves and wake thoroughly from your sleep. You cannot bear the fierceness and wrath of the infinite God. Let everyone fly out. He had a way with words, I suppose. Regardless of party affiliation, if we believe that lying and making up fake facts makes God angry, then we must know of God's wrath. We must reclaim virtue and ethics. Lying is as wrong for progressive Christians as anyone. Deceit is no virtue. Amen? Amen? If we believe that neglecting the poor of the earth, marginalizing and making the poor and the hopeless poorer and more hopeless for our own enrichment, power, and money makes God angry, then we know of God's wrath. If America first means that everyone else goes last, then God has wrath in store for us. If we believe that belittling others, mocking the weak, discrediting the educated, insulting the hopeless, undermining world peace, or promoting and protecting hatred is a sin, falling short of what God has in hope for us, then we know of God's wrath. Yes, I said sin in a UCC church. If we believe that discriminating against the LGBTQ community is wrong, then we know of God's wrath. If we believe from the depths of our hearts and our faith and our theology that fundamentally sexism, the objectification, abuse, unequal pay, and double standards for women is fundamentally a cultural sin, then you know in your heart what wrath means. If we believe that abusive reverse mortgages, predatory scams and financial schemes, rampant elder abuse, underfunded and understaffed nursing homes, which I can tell you we have here in Fort Collins, of course, only for those who can't afford private pay, and disrespect for the elderly is a cultural sin, then you know the wrath of God. If we believe that outlawing immigrants, dehumanizing other religions, rejecting the refugee, ignoring science, and building walls between people based on race and language is a sin, then we know the wrath of God. Maybe we are all sinners in the hands of an angry God anyway for our slumber and complacency. This is not, however, a time to blame, but a time to waken the sleeping church. That choked up feeling of anger we feel in our guts when we see our relative not receiving proper care in a nursing home, or a sister or a mother saying that they were looked over for a promotion, that feeling is the wrath of God within us. We feel God's wrath, and it is holy. As your minister for pastoral care, one of them, and your minister for outreach and mission, these two jobs dovetail. As I see these cultural sins impacting our own members' pain and struggle, elder abuse, immigration worries, and tears flowing. Usually, of course, I preach my sermons pastorally about the love of God, the peace of God, the acceptance of God through Jesus Christ. But today, while all that remains true and truer than ever, and my next sermon will probably be about one of those topics, and I may even sing, God help us all, I am called by my ordination vow this morning to help us reclaim and awaken to the wrath in our hearts that comes from God. Wrath is, after all, simply defined as extreme and holy divine vexation, frustration, and anger. I believe if I don't preach this to you today, then I'm not worthy of the title, the Reverend Jake Joseph. New Lights, Christians, church friends, leaders of the Great Awakening of 2017, today here in Fort Collins, Colorado, we start like what was started in Northampton, Massachusetts in 1730. But this will be the first progressive Great Awakening. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father. Salty Christians, huh? What does that mean? Historically, in the text, it means those with a unique flavor, as Jane Ann described, effective at their mission of preserving. Salt was a preservative, and transforming. Now, I especially love this passage because of what else salty means in modern English parlance. To be salty means to be irritated, irked, vexed. This is what our scripture is calling us today. We must harness the wrath of God for the good of the world in order to lead. Other branches of Christianity have given up their saltiness or capitulated to power, and therefore given up their claim on Christ's message and have hidden their flame. Others have decided that Christianity is simply a convenient vehicle for political oppression of the weak and powerless for economic purposes. We are called to be salty, flaming Christians. New lights in a world of darkness, newly awakened as others are now going to sleep or being put to sleep. Now, since we're already talking about progressive Christian wrath and sin, why don't we now go ahead and talk about temptation for progressive Christians while we're at it? I mean, this sermon's once in a career, maybe, so I might as well go for all of it. So the first temptation I like to call the proverbial snooze button. I mean, who doesn't like to go to sleep? Who's ever hit a snooze button? It's okay, you can raise your hands. Okay, only some of you. That's amazing. When confronted with the Great Awakening of God, who wouldn't instinctively hit the snooze button? I confess that I love the snooze button on my phone alarm. We see this in effect in the Bible many times with Jonah and his reluctance as a prophet, Paul before his conversion when he was Saul, and even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup, that's a snooze button. God, can't we just hit the snooze button for another decade or a millennia? Can't we just hit the snooze button maybe for 4 more years? The first instinct is to ignore the fierce urgency of, anyone know the end of that quote? Now, as Martin Luther King Jr. famously said, that is a temptation. Now, the second temptation is a little bit more subtle. I call it the roll over and pass the buck temptation. This is when the alarm clock goes off, you roll over to your spouse or loved one, and you say, please go take the dog out. Would you please start the coffee maker? Or get the kids ready for school, and then you roll over and hit the snooze button. This is a really subtle one. This is the temptation when you see an announcement about a march for social justice, or you have an idea for action that must be taken. God sends you an alarm clock. But instead of taking action yourself, you email Betsy from the Outreach and Mission Board, or me, and say, with a lot of exclamation marks, somebody should be doing something about this. Snooze. The church ought to organize a march. 5 exclamation marks. I am indignant that you are not taking charge. 10 exclamation marks. And I get around 5 to 10 of these emails a day. And they all rely kind of on this phrase, somebody should, but I am too busy to take leadership right now. Call me once it's organized and I might show up. You should be doing something about this. Where's Betsy? Is this true? Yes. Yeah, amen. If I turned all of my attention to organizing all of these marches for you, you would not have a sermon from me this morning or any pastoral care from any of us, because that's the kind of leadership it takes for this. An email to the board or me is a good start. Please continue to do that. But it's sort of the rollover and pass the buck response to God's alarm clock. Plymouth, we are called to be the new lights once again. The alarm clock of grace and action that stirred so many years ago is sounding again. We are called this time to be waking up. We are called to be salty, whole, and holy, H-O-L-Y, irritated Christians for God. It is time to waken from our sleep, risk losing endowment mattresses and pillows of peace and our blankets of blandness. The buck stops here. We cannot roll over and say that this morning task is somebody else's responsibility. We cannot hit the snooze button. We are the leaders we have been waiting for, and that God, Jesus Christ, the universe has been seeking. It is morning in the church and midnight in America. Today is the first day of the progressive Great Awakening. We are the new lights for a new time. Shine on. Amen.